So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yeah, I am there.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances always to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much Prabhuji for your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you. Now you can take over. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela Chapter 19, text number 138. एत ब्रह्मांड भारी अनंत जीव गणा चौरासी लक्ष योनि ते करये भ्रमणा. Translation: In this universe, there are limitless living entities. In 84 lakh species, and all are wandering within this universe. Purport: This is a challenge to so-called scientists and philosophers who presume that there are living entities on this planet only. So-called scientists are going to the moon and they say that there is no life there. This does not tally with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's version. He says that everywhere within the universe there are unlimited numbers of living entities in 84 lakh different forms. In Bhagavad Gita 2.24, we find that the living entities are sarvagata, which means they can go anywhere. This indicates that there are living entities everywhere. They exist on land, in water, in air, in fire, and in ether. Thus, there are living entities in all types of material elements. Since the entire material universe is composed of five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, why should there be living entities on one planet and not others? Such a foolish version can never be accepted by Vedic students. From Vedic literature, we understand that there are living entities on each and every planet, regardless of whether the planet is composed of earth, water, fire, or air. These living entities may not have the same forms that are found on the planet Earth, but they have different forms composed of different elements. Even on this Earth, we can see that the forms of land animals are different from the forms of aquatics. According to the circumstances, living conditions differ, but undoubtedly, there are living entities everywhere. Why should we deny the existence of living entities on this or that planet? Those who have claimed to have gone to the moon have not gone there, or else with their imperfect vision, they cannot actually perceive the particular type of living entity there. The living entities are described as ananta or unlimited. Nonetheless, they are said to belong to 84 lakh species as stated in Vishnu Purana. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshadimsati Pramayo Rudra Sankhyaya Pakshinam Dasalakshanam Trimsal Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manushaha. There are 900,000 species living in the water. There are also 20 lakh non-moving living entities, stavara, such as trees and plants. There are 11 lakh species of insects and reptiles, and there are 10 lakh species of birds. As far as quadrupeds are concerned, there are 30 lakh varieties and there are 400,000 human species. Some of these species may exist on one planet and not on the other. But in any case, within all the planets of the universe and even in the sun, there are living entities. This is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. As the Bhagavad Gita 2.20 confirms, Najayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya ajo nityas sashvato ayam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Since the living entities are never annihilated, they simply transmigrate from one life form to another. Thus, there is an evolution of forms according to the degree of developed consciousness. One experiences different degrees of consciousness in different forms. A dog's consciousness is different from a man's. Even within a species, we find that a father's consciousness is different from his son's, and that a child's consciousness is different from a youth. Just as we find different forms, we find different states of consciousness. When we see different states of consciousness, we may take it for granted that the bodies are different. In other words, different types of bodies depend on different states of consciousness. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. One's consciousness at the time of death determines one's type of body in the next life. This is the process of transmigration of the soul. A variety of bodies is already there. We change from one body to another in terms of our consciousness. So we are going to discuss only this verse today. Before we discuss this verse, let's invoke Hare Krishna.
What happened? First, Madhuri Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, we cannot hear Prabhuji's voice now.
Oh, okay. Let's see, I think he'll reconnect.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna, sorry, I got dropped off. Hi, Bol, you there?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes, now we can hear.
Okay. So we will offer our prayers to Spiritual Master before we start discussing our session today.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela
chapter 19, text number 138. This is the topic where Mahaprabhu is giving his instructions to Rupa Goswami. So it's a very interesting chapter where Mahaprabhu is trying to enlighten on the topic of spiritual science. And through this conversation with Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enlightening all of us. The subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the subject matter about pure devotional service is very deep and is very important and is very, very needed for all of us in this age of Kali Yuga. The spiritual science, Srila Prabhupada says, that we receive through Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study. So the reason it's called postgraduate study is that through this process of understanding the subject matter through the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are going deeper in our devotional sentiments. And the more we go deeper, the more we get to realize the fundamental aspects of life, that we are not this body but spirit soul. One of the important projects of Srila Prabhupada, or in fact one of the most dearmost projects of Srila Prabhupada, had always been to prove, to establish, life comes from life. There are plenty of dialogues, plenty of conversations, plenty of morning walks, especially Srila Prabhupada had with Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So he had given a lot of instructions and insisted on this point, that how we need to establish this fundamental aspect of life, which is life comes from life. Our current educational system, our current educational endeavor is slowly drifting away from this fact of life comes from life because of our extended attachment towards science, and we disconnect science from philosophy and especially spiritual knowledge that is proving to be catastrophic. All the scientists finally come to an understanding that there is beyond, there is knowledge, there is philosophy to be understood beyond the material science. And by the time they come to understand, they come to the fag end of their life, so they just make some statements and move on. It was only Srila Prabhupada who had equivocally, he had very, very strongly made this point to everybody, and in fact went ahead and challenging even the scientists on this point on life comes from life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is trying to, is going to enlighten on the unique aspects of devotional service. He is going to explain how this devotional service is so sublime, how this devotional service is so great, that whoever is getting the benefit of being part of this bhakti yoga process, they are very fortunate and they have an access to the Supreme Lord who is antimatter. So Srila Prabhupada, in his instruction to Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj, he has, there's a book that, you know, eventually Srila Prabhupada published called Life Comes From Life. So Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that it's extreme important duty of all the practitioners of Krishna consciousness movement to prove and to preach life comes from life. This is not some, you know, ordinary scientific, you know, thesis or scientific analysis that we are trying to say here. It is something very vital for our community and society at large to reawaken their lost consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this particular purport, we as human species is very important, it's a very important species where we can develop our consciousness and we can slowly elevate our consciousness and eventually make it to the spiritual abode. If after getting this human form of life, if we continue to remain in animalistic consciousness, then we are actually wasting an opportunity to exit from the cycle of birth and death. So Srila Prabhupada says that while the scientists may claim many theories and many new findings, one thing that is irrevocably or it's very clearly established that all the living entities are revolving within the cycle of materialistic world. All the living entities are moving from one consciousness level to another consciousness level according to their activities that they perform in this material world. So this whole science of spiritual knowledge that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to preach to Rupa Goswami, or is already preaching, we are already seeing the conversation, it is very vital for us to revive our consciousness. We need to latch on to this instructions and this Siddhanta and eventually elevate our consciousness. So our first and foremost education, our first and foremost reflection in our today's session, today's sloka, is to somehow or other, we need to take up this project in our own personal life, in our own personal behavior, activities, projects, goals, and whatever we do, of teaching this life comes from life. This life comes from life project that Srila Prabhupada wanted to, you know, spread it forward. He has told Bhaktisvarup Damodar Maharaj to work on it, write papers, write theories, meet Nobel laureates, talk in their language, talk in the scientific terms, discuss in the scientific terminologies, and eventually go and establish to those scientists who does not accept, understand, associate with this ideology of life comes from life, and how their knowledge is incomplete without this understanding. This has got a very deeper aspect of it. So this life comes from life. We ourselves don't understand sometimes, even after knowing we are not this body, spirit, soul. We theoretically know we are not this body, spirit, souls, but when it comes to practice, we still operate on the bodily platform. So the first reflection what I want to say is that this life comes from life project. Even though it may sound like a scientific project, it is extremely important to know that it is not only a scientific project to go and establish, it is a project for us to live by, which means we need to operate, slowly elevate our consciousness from bodily to mind to intelligence and eventually reflect and live on the platform of soul. The entire second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is dedicating to delineate on this topic very elaborately about the knowledge of the soul. So whenever we talk about this topic about I am not this body, spirit, soul, all of us sometimes devotees who are experienced in this Krishna consciousness process, they think that it is a very fundamental topic. It is not something relevant for advanced listening. So we should go and discuss something very deeper, very, core aspects of Krishna Leela. But we need to know that this particular aspect of I am not this body, spirit, soul is a very fundamental understanding on which we are supposed to live by. For example, if we come and say somebody about their caste, about their looks, about their language, about their demography, about their family, about their appearance, about various other things, about their external things, suppose if we make fun of it, suppose if we make some comments on it, we immediately get hurt. Even though we know we are not this body, spirit, soul, if somebody tells that, something against myself, and today myself, my understanding is, I am this body, I still don't disconnect, I still don't go deeper than this bodily level, and I am currently thinking only myself from the bodily aspects of life. So our first reflection is that we need to somehow or other elevate our consciousness, work to elevate our consciousness, be conscious that we are not this body but spirit soul. But for that, there are four layers of functioning. The layer of functioning is we need to bodily clear, we need to mentally clear, intellectually clear, and by some food for soul, we are clear. So the bodily clarity has come from we being participating in the devotional service of the Lord. Mentally clear is coming from contemplating about the subject matter. Intellectually clear is coming from asking relevant questions and discussing and eventually reflecting on how to elevate our consciousness. And when we talk about operating on the platform of soul, we really operate on the principles of devotional service, which is to glorify the Supreme Lord as His servant. So every action that we do, whether it is eating, whether it is singing, whatever actions we do, we can dissect them into these four levels. And all our intellectual quotient, emotional quotient, and various quotients are all operating only on either body or mind or intelligence. Only the spiritual quotient, which is unique to Krishna consciousness and the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, give access to the platform of soul. So it's a bit technical, but it is very important that we need to somehow or other constantly work towards operating on the platform of I am not this body, spirit, souls. For that, we need to refine our bodily activities. We need to refine our mental activities. We need to refine our intellectual activities. And we eventually will be refined about our soul. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Upadeshamrita preface. Prabhupada says that if somebody is not elevating their consciousness, if somebody is not getting rid of the sense gratificatory propensity and elevating the consciousness from mental and intellectual level and eventually operating on the spiritual consciousness, the progress in Krishna consciousness is not possible. I'm paraphrasing this. Actually, Prabhupada says that when our consciousness is purified, the knowledge required for spiritual advancement will be revealed. So what is happening to Rupa Goswami here? What is happening between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, this dialogue? Whose knowledge is revealed. Mahaprabhu is revealing this science. Mahaprabhu is, enlightening on the subject matter because Sri Rupa Goswami already in the previous verses, it is very nicely explained how he is epitome of Mahaprabhu's love. So to revive our consciousness, to revive our relationship with the Supreme Lord, we need to elevate our consciousness from doggish mentality to the mentality of I am servant of the Supreme Lord. So we need to uplift ourselves, and the upliftment should happen by our action. Upliftment should happen by our thinking, willing, feeling. Upliftment should happen by our using of intelligence, and eventually our soul will get purified and we will resonate in the same frequency as it of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because by constitutional position, the soul is Sat Chit Ananda. So to operate on the soul, operate on this platform of Sat Chit Ananda, we need to remove the layer of covering, all this covering, bodily covering, mental covering, intellectual covering, and eventually go deep to this. And that is why somebody is called a saint, because he is able to see everybody in the platform of soul. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Suni Chaiva Supake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. So Pandita Samadarshina is because he is able to see everybody in the platform of soul, he could filter through the layer of body, mind and intelligence and able to reach somebody in the platform of soul. So this project on life comes from life. It's not just a theoretical scientific project. It is purely a spiritual application. So we need to start realizing, we need to start think beyond our body, we need to start think beyond our mind and intelligence, and we should feed the soul and this food for soul within ourselves, the soul which we are in our real sense should get resonating with the spiritual consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this particular purport that it is extremely difficult for scientists and the normal material science to explain this particular Siddhanta. Because material science purely talk about matter. The spiritual science purely talk about spirit. So that is why science without philosophy or religion without philosophy is sentiment and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So we can just go on, identifying theories and go on finding various ideologies. But if it is not connected to the source, if it is not connected to the root of where it is coming from, then it will all become a humbug, platform. So our first reflection is somehow or other in our lifestyle, as I said, body, mind and intelligence and eventually the soul, we need to fill in with this thought on life comes from life. So in our walks, in our talks, in our decision, in our eating, in our thinking, in our reading, in our decisions, we need to have this layer of understanding that life comes from life superimposed. So when we have this as a fundamental premises on our functioning, then every choice that we make, we will be able to reflect on this particular point. Today, many, many people in the world does not know this. That is why they are killing animals. They are harming animals, they are harming other living entities. There are so many animalistic behavior or demoniac propensities coming because we don't understand life comes from life. If this life comes from life is established or proven, then karma can be established. If karma can be established, action can be regulated. If action can be regulated, then we can have a very nice lifestyle. So that's our first reflection. The second reflection that I would like to, share over here is that this particular Siddhanta, to go out and tell or to go out and preach, to go out and establish the spiritual knowledge, one of the important characteristics that is expected of us is how do we handle the quotient of fear? Because one of the reasons why we don't do anything spiritually, why we don't do anything which is directed towards us is because of our fear of identity or fear of our image. So one of the important quality that is explained for a self-realized soul is called abhaya, fearless. Fearless does not mean he is fanatic. Fearless does not mean he just, he or she just do something in a reckless manner. So, we will analyze a sincere practitioner. What he is fearing for, what he won't fear for. So, this ideology on fear in this context is relevant because half of us fear to practice devotional life because this fear of our identity or fear of our losing our surroundings is something which is becoming a big problem for practicing Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was very, very successful because he was fearless and he was very bold in preaching. Every spiritual authority, he rose up to that level because they are fearless. They present the ideologies, they present the Siddhanta, they present the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in a fearless manner. Whether it is Dhruva Maharaj, whether it is Prahlad Maharaj, whether it is Narada Muni, there is Sukadeva Goswami, there is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Rupa Goswami, you name any Acharya, the Siddhanta of life comes from life. Srila Prabhupada, you know, very unique quality was he could meet the scientist, he could present in front of everybody that what you are saying is wrong. He could present with complete authentication, with complete conviction, even though Prabhupada was not apparently a scientist from a normal material world sense. So Srila Prabhupada had a very strong understanding of the Siddhanta. He had a very strong understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he could present the science of Krishna consciousness in a fearless manner. So our second reflection is going to be, what are all the things that we should really fear for, and what are the things that we need not fear? Because this quotient of fear should be inculcated within us, and what we should fear for, we should fear, and what we shouldn't, we shouldn't. If we flip this out, then what happens is that we may, in the process of leading a very sophisticated and very luxurious life, externally we may have wonderful arrangements, but internally our consciousness will be doggish consciousness only. So our second reflection is going to be on the comparison on fear versus fearless in the life of a practicing devotee who can apply the right amount of intelligence in using this component of fear in his devotional life so that he can actually live by and preach life comes from life. Okay, let me first list on those points where a devotee should not be fearing for, or an individual should not be fearing for, a principle-centric person should not be fearing for. This does not mean we are just very fanatic. This means we are very clear on the principle. We will not compromise on the principle when it comes to applying them in our personal life before even preaching others. So this fearlessness that we are going to talk now is going to be self-application than going to challenge somebody, but more for applying to our own selves. And this quality of fearlessness you would see in every preacher who are successful, who had established a Siddhanta and won souls to the Supreme Lord. So the first quality of the first thing that we should not fear for when we are leading a principled-centric life, when we are leading a life based on the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is about defame. Srila Prabhupada never compromised this Siddhanta because he was never fearing about what will happen to his fame. He was very clear, even in a very big audience, in a very big forum, in a very esteemed forum, Prabhupada never feared for speaking the truth and the Siddhanta. So we should not fear for fame. So fearlessness should be there for defame. Number two, demands and pressure from the society to behave in a way that they want us to behave. The society today expects us many, many things in terms of being a sophisticated lifestyle. But a principled man will walk by the principle rather than compromise his principle for adapting himself to the society's needs. So a principled man will form a society around him rather than adapting himself to the society's need. So the fearlessness component should be to not succumb to the demands and pressure from the society to behave in a particular way. And the third aspect in which we should not be fearing for is being an odd man out. We should not fear about. Because every successful person is an odd man out. Even though this word odd man out is in a very crude context, But if you see, if you put it in the right perspective, all the successful people, all the acharyas, all the great souls, they are odd men out. So, not that only the demons are odd men out, not only the terrorists are odd men out, not only the criminals are odd men out, even the great people are odd men out. So, we should be not worried to be an odd man out in the right context. So, if we fear, oh, what happens if I do this, people will, you know, think me different. What happens if I do this, people will, you know, brand me different. We need not fear for that whilst we are walking in the path of principled life. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport very clearly that we need to elevate our consciousness. And this human form of life is a fantastic platform. If we do not operate on this opportunity that we are given, then at the time of death, our next life will be defined. Yamyam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavitaha. Prabhupada writes, at the time of our death, whatever consciousness we are in, our next life will be determined by that. And the rights to define our exit is available only in this human form of life. When we are human beings, that's when we have the ability to discriminate, ability to differentiate, ability to question, ability to change our decisions and desires, and eventually exit from this material world. That's why in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ashraddha Dhanaha Purusha Dharmasyasya Param Tapa Aprapya Maam Nivartande Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. So those who do not have Shraddha in this process, those who does not have faith in this process of the knowledge that I am teaching, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, they will go on rotating in this, like, you know, cycle of birth and death. So the third point that we need not fear for is we should not be fearing for being an odd man out. And the last aspect we should not be fearing for is talking about the Lord and serving Him openly. This does not mean that you go to a country where, you know, external spiritual lives are, you know, not so much welcomed, that we go and challenge them. But the principle is that I will choose my lifestyle where I can definitely lead by a consciousness where I will be glorifying the Supreme Lord and serving the Supreme Lord, and I'll orient my lifestyle accordingly. So these four aspects are all needed for a person who is interested in leading a principle-centric life to be fearless. So the fearlessness is about not being fearlessness on defame, fearlessness on demands and pressure from the society to behave in a particular way, and being an odd man out, and eventually talking about the Lord and serving Him. So we should not fear for these four things. At the same time, every principled man should fear for certain things too. Because Prabhupada was very particular that we need to ensure that we use the quality of fear in the right context. So we should fear for certain things. So there are four things that we should fear for. Number one, we should fear for offenses towards the devotees. Number two, we should fear for the evil effects of Maya. Number three, we should fear for association with narrow-minded and greedy-minded persons and envious people. And we should fear for demoniac qualities. So these are all very obvious things from a spiritual context. But if you go deep into this, this has got an application connotation. These four things means, these four things are applied in our daily life, both this fearlessness aspect and aspect that we need to fear for. When we combine them and lead a principled life, then we are already walking on the path of elevating our consciousness. So the four aspects that we need to fear are, we need to fear for offense towards devotees, we need to fear about the evil effects of Maya, we need to fear about association of worldly-minded, greedy and envious people, and we should also fear for demoniac qualities. So we need to be conscious on our action, we need to be conscious on our words, we need to be conscious on our intentions, and hence our consciousness will get elevated. So our actions are for body, our intentions are for our our mind, and we need our reflections are for the intelligence. So we need to make sure that bodily level, mind level, and intellectual level, our activities and consciousness and intentions are very nicely fine-tuned to glorify the Supreme Lord. So the fearlessness is a natural quality and a symptom of a surrender. So a surrendered soul, a person who is interested in inclining in the process of surrendering in Krishna consciousness, he need to develop this quality on fearlessness on all those points that we listed, and develop fear on all those points we have listed. In the conditioning context, it's actually ulta. It's actually other way around. All the conditioned souls, all those people who have not understood the siddhanta of spiritual science, they will do the other way around. They will fear for fame. They will fear for the demands and pressure from the society. They will fear for being an odd man out. They will fear for speaking about Lord in public. And they will not fear for, you know, making fun of devotees. They will not fear for the evil effects of Maya. They will not fear for associating with envious people and worldly-minded people. And they will not fear about the demoniac qualities because they are not aware about it. So that is why Krishna consciousness means walking in the path of illusion to reality. Once our bodily demands are gone and we have come to the stage of self-realization, we don't generally fear of anything. So if this fear is a area in which we can operate very well, then we are confident to make progress in our consciousness level. Now the third reflection. The third reflection is, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining very nicely about the science of spiritual knowledge, the science of devotional service, and the length and breadth of devotional service, that's the previous verse. He says that the power of devotional service is unmeasurable. So, Bhagavatam defines, or the pages of Vedic literature defines, bhakti into two levels. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesa sevanam bhakti ruchyate. This is the definition of bhakti. Then Bhagavatam also describes that what is Uttama Bhakti? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Anya Abhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Silanam Bhakti Uttama. So what we are going to discuss in the third reflection is that we are currently trying to do devotional service. Now, there are two stages of devotional service explained. One is bhakti, which is devotional service. Second is uttama bhakti, which means pure devotional service. So for bhakti, what has been explained? Sarva upadhi vinir muktam. So the third point that we're going to discuss is the rising of consciousness that Srila Prabhupada spoke about in this particular purport is nothing but getting rid of our designations. Upadhi means designations, false identifications, identifying with our external scenario. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam. So we can actually enter into the real devotional service, not even the pure, even the devotional service by itself. It actually needs some cleansing. And the cleansing that is talked about here is sarva upadhi vinir muktam. Upadhi means designations. So long as we are attached to our false designations, we won't be able to even get into the platform of devotional service. So our third reflection is that when Prabhupada is encouraging us, when Prabhupada is saying, out of 84 lakh species, human species are very rare. Out of this human species, those who are coming to the spiritual knowledge is more rare. Out of them, those who are coming to understanding and not this body, spirit, soul is rare. So like that, there are so many nice rarest opportunities are made available to us, and with that rarity we need to somehow or other get rid of this upadhi, unwanted designations which are attached only to this body. So our third reflection in this particular purport is that somehow or other we need to work towards getting rid of this upadhi, false designations attached to ourselves. Unfortunately, if we are not conscious about it, then this false designation will make us believe that these designations are us, will make us realize these designations are our identity. And somehow or other, we will start to falsely identify ourselves with these designations and lose the real core. It's like we are decorating the, you know, the cage and not feeding the parrot. So these designations are actually subtly taken over our identity. Today, each and every one of us identify ourselves with the designation rather than thinking about our constitutional position. This is a very fundamental point which you would have heard in many classes, but if you sit back and think, it makes a lot of sense. So our chanting, our Panchanga Bhakti, that all the five aspects of devotional service is nothing but to eliminate this layer of upadhi. And the first upadhi that we need to get rid of is that I am this body. I am the enjoyer. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bhagavad Gita says, if you start to think I am the doer, if you start to experience I am the doer, then that's when our downfall starts. Or that's when we need to, that's why we need to attack. So basically we need to make sure, we need to definitely come to an understanding, we need to come to a platform, we need to come to a stage of realization that we get rid of this upadhi. This upadhi is with respect to the birth, with respect to the community we belong to, the language that we speak, the species that we belong to, the looks and feels that we have, the education system that we have, the position that we hold, and even in the spiritual sense, am I a temple president, am I a spiritual master, am I a preacher, am I a leader, am I so on, so all of them are designations. And all these designations will drift us away from Krishna consciousness. Some of the designations may look like they are devotional, but they are actually a trap for our devotional life. So when explaining about this Bhakti Yoga process, it is very nicely explained that the beginning point of getting rid of designation is Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Getting rid of the upadhi and doing devotional service. These two combined. That is why Krishna consciousness is also called sense gratification. But unlike gratifying our senses, it is gratifying Krishna's senses. So if you really want to do sense gratification, we will do sense gratification of Krishna. Which means, Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. And the reasons why we are not able to do this, the reason why even after theoretically knowing this, we are not able to, you know, dwell on this, is five-folded. Any one of these five will be the reason why we are not able to get rid of this upadhi. This is especially for those practitioners who are part of this Krishna consciousness movement for a while, who still have got some attachment, some, you know, hold to their external identity, that we are not able to still realize, I'm not this body, spirit, soul. When somebody talks about our community, you know, all the South Indian Tamil people are, you know, a bunch of idiots, then we get immediately irritated because we identify ourselves with South Indian body. We identify ourselves with the human being. We identify ourselves with educated. We identify ourselves with so many things which are partially true and temporary. And we don't identify ourselves with that permanent truth which is about our soul. We are not here talking about giving away our self-esteem, but we are also talking about understanding our self-identity, which is Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. So these five reasons that I am going to say now are the root cause why we are not able to give up our designations. Number one, familiarity. Especially those of us who are in this movement, who have theoretically understood this, but we are struggling to practice our Krishna consciousness layer, struggling to apply the Krishna consciousness understanding, struggling to move past the understanding, the five reasons. Reason number one is our familiarity towards this process, that we are so familiar that we don't take it seriously. Number two, overconfidence or the knowledge that we possess, we just stay on the knowledge level and does not go into the application level. So this overconfidence that I know and I can always revive myself is something that can, you know, trap us. Number three, self-centered nature or expecting self-honor or opulence is another reason why somebody cannot get rid of this upadhi. Number four, extended attachment towards our ideologies and the ego that we hold. And last but not least, somebody's fundamental ignorance on where do they stand. Fundamental ignorance on not knowing where do they exactly stand is also another reason why somebody cannot do this. So these five are five obvious and five possible reasons why somebody can drift away from working on the platform of soul even after knowing that he is not this body but spirit souls. So these three reflections are something that I wanted to share as a part of our discussions today. So the first reflection is the first and foremost reflection is about the project on life comes from life. And as I said, in life comes from life is just not a theoretical understanding. It's a very practical and important understanding, and it is a foundation of our spiritual life and also end of the spiritual life. Jiva Swarupuhai, Krishna and Nityadas, and Jiva comes from another Jiva is a foundational understanding that Srila Prabhupada wanted. And this has to be layered at bodily level, mind level, intellectual level, and soul level. And this life comes from life needs to sink in every action, every words that we speak, every thoughts that we have, every decisions that we make, and eventually we need to resonate our consciousness with divine consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Upadeshamrita preface that how when a person elevates his consciousness from sense gratificatory propensity, everything pertaining to spiritual knowledge will be revealed to that person. So long as we elevate our consciousness, the knowledge won't be revealed. We may be in the movement for so many number of years, but still if the consciousness is not elevated, nothing will be revealed. So revelation comes from the Supreme Lord, but endeavor has to go from our side. So the first reflection is, from that perspective, life comes from life is our daily, every moment project, and we need to be conscious about it. And for that, our second reflection feeds in, which is, we need to be fearless for certain things and fearful of certain things. For us to even lead a life of life comes from life, we need to feed a life of, I am not this body, spirit, soul, and servant of the Supreme Lord. We need to, for leading a life of elevating our consciousness, we need to be fearless of certain things and fearful of certain things. Because fearlessness is a symptom of surrender. And whilst we are surrendering to the Supreme Lord, we fear for certain things, which is also inbuilt as a part of the process. So we fear less. We should be fearless for four things. Number one, it's defame. Number two, demands and pressure from the society and to behave in a particular way. Number three, being an odd man out. And number four, we should not fear about talking about the Lord and serving Him. Whilst we do this, we should be equally fearing for certain things. We should be fearing for offending devotees. We should be fearing for evil effects of Maya. We should be fearing for associating with worldly-minded, greedy, envious people. We should also be fearing about demoniac qualities. And with this quotient of fear versus fearlessness, we should be able to apply our knowledge that we received in the right perspective. The third reflection that we have, which helps us in the previous two points, is the reason why we don't fear, the reason why we don't operate on the platform of soul is because of the upadhis. So hence, Vedic literature says two definitions on devotional service. One definition is devotional service, another definition is pure devotional service. So devotional service definition is sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat paratyena nirmalam. So long as we don't get rid of our upadhi, upadhi means false designations and false identification, we won't be able to elevate our consciousness. So to elevate our consciousness, to become fearless, to become fearful of certain things and to operate on the platform of soul, then we need to somehow work on our upadhi. And if these upadhis are not removed, we will start to identify ourselves with this external designation and start to forget ourselves we are the spirit souls. As Prabhupada writes in the purport last paragraph, somewhere in our life, we need to elevate our consciousness. Otherwise, if we die with the consciousness of a dog or a four-legged animal, our next life will be determined based on what consciousness we are dying with. So, these upadhis are some things to be given up. And this two layers of bhakti, beginning point happens from getting rid of this false designation and serving the Supreme Lord physically. Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam. And we discussed five reasons why somebody is not able to get rid of this upadhi, why somebody is suffering with this, you know, disease of false identifying himself as a designation. We discussed five different possibilities, or a combination of these five could be the reason why somebody is struggling with this. And those are, number one, because of the familiarity towards this process. Number two, it's about overconfidence or the knowledge that we possess. We think that we are knowledgeable and hence I can always handle it. Number three, when it's a self-centered nature or expecting self-honor or opulence out of this process. Number four, extended attachment towards our ideologies or the ego that we possess. And last but not least, ignorance about this entire spiritual knowledge, which is a real science, which we got covered with our materialistic knowledge. You might be materially very, very knowledgeable and well-versed in certain science, but so long as we are having a knowledge about the spiritual knowledge, we are all this knowledge are shramaya vahi kevalam, simply waste of time. So these three reflections are, that's something that I would like to share as a part of this particular purport, which is in the series of Mahaprabhu's instruction to Srila Rupa Goswami. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Tendulkar, Pranam, all good Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, Jai Jai Shri Radhishyam. Thank you very much for wonderful explanation and wonderful assistance. Dandvat, all good Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandvat, Pranam, Sangha, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I really like the point about that being fearless and the odd man out thing. It was very, very nice. Thank you so much. It's like a good reminder for us how to behave. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very beautiful class. Thanks for all the realizations you share every time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions? This Rupa Goswami, Siksha to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, this particular chapters, especially from the last 10 verses onwards and next few more verses, they are very important and they are very deep. It may sound that, oh, we know this theoretically, but please go deeper into those verses. It may open up a very interesting set of learnings for us. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I said, is actually meant for such deeper study, and hence avail this opportunity to go deeper, churn more, get rid of the unclear ideologies and start applying them in our life. Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Pancham kalpataru vishya kripa sindhu evcha patita naam paamneve vishya vipranamo nama chaitanya chaitamrit ki jai, Srila Prabhupad ki jai, His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhu ki jai. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Pranam, all the Prabhupada.